Hey, Mystic Michaela spiritual family. Welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today, we are talking about aura colors and cults. And we're going to focus this around, centered around the IBLP ministry, which was recently examined in the Amazon Prime docuseries, Shiny Happy People. And it explored the Duggar family, who were a huge big hit on TLC. And we're going to go into that. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
All right. So before we started, I grabbed the definition of a cult.
Okay.
According to the Britannica Dictionary. And the cult definition is a small religious group that is not part of a larger and more accepted religion and that has beliefs regarded by many people as extreme or dangerous.
Okay. So that's the current definition of the word cult.
Yes.
All right. Interesting. And actually, as I went in and did a little history search, you know, a little research on this and how it came to be.
Okay.
So it's a Latin term that comes from the same origins of culture, the word culture, to cultivate, same origins. It's had a range of meanings throughout history from, you know, training, education, adoration. If you go back to the 1600s, basically the word cult is kind of like the first time you see it being used, and it means mostly to worship.
Okay.
So it's not in a religious context yet, because the definition you said had the word religion in there.
Yes.
So in the 1600s, it would not have been seen so much as a religious term.
Mm-hmm.
As you go into the 1700s, it basically takes on a more religious tone to be like a specific branch of a religion or rites or practices of that branch. So,
okay, so it's more like social movements.
Yeah,
before.
So, right. So like if you had like a leader, let's say, I don't know, I'm just making this up, but like a leader within the church that was kind of going in a religion, I shouldn't even say the church, within a religious sect,
mm-hmm.
that was going a little different route, you might have said the cult of blank.
Okay, got it.
And then you could all, it also, in that time period, as you go into like the 1700s, early 1800s, it also could refer to a non-religious admiration or devotion to a person or ideas.
Okay.
So like, you know, we've used Jim Morrison, like the cult of Jim Morrison.
Right.
You know, the cult of...
Like a Trader Joe's.
Right. Yeah. The cult of Whole Foods. The cult of Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's. Yes. Definitely has a cult following, like that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Right.
The cult of Mystic Michaela. The Mystic Michaela spiritual family.
Well, that's... The $100,000 question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we a cult?
Right. And I actually did look into that too. But yes, today the term is now referred to mostly in a religious context. And usually it's seen as like a religious sect that's unorthodox.
Got it.
So it wouldn't be like your typical Methodist, let's say. It would be an offshoot of that.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Okay. I think we understand that.
Yeah, I think we get that, right? Okay, so yes. Is the Mystic Michaela spiritual family a cult?
I named it a jovial cult.
You have named it a jovial cult. We've done some work on cults before.
Yes.
Not the first time we've brought up this topic.
Right.
So, and this was according... Okay, so I got this information according to the Cult Education Institute.
Okay.
There are specific signs, warning signs to look out for.
Everybody be on the lookout. Here
whether considering your group might be a cult.
All right.
Okay. So if you do feel that the Mystic Michaela spiritual family is a cult, you may go.
You should probably go.
You can leave.
Yeah.
Right, but no, we want you to stay.
No, stay.
All right. Number one, absolute authoritarianism without accountability.
Oh, that's not good.
That would mean like either you or me would be like an absolute ruler and we have no accountability for ourselves.
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, you have accountability. I don't know about me.
Yeah, I definitely try to have accountability.
Okay.
Okay.
Number two, zero toleration for criticism or questions.
Oh, no. I love those.
Okay.
Things.
We do encourage questions.
Right.
And, not so much criticisms, but...
No, I don't mind it nicely put, and
yes.
I've taken a lot of good ones, you know, throughout... It's 5 years we've been doing this podcast.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So I've grown a lot because of the listenership and everything they've given me.
Okay. Number three, lack of meaningful financial disclosure regarding budget. Well, we don't have any dues.
Yeah.
Although I do have discussion groups.
We're kind of cheap to belong to.
Yeah. Fairly cheap.
I'm a little too indigo to be a cult leader. I'm gonna be honest.
Right.
I'm gonna sleep on that. I can't be that much in charge.
All right. Unreasonable fears about the outside world that often involve evil conspiracies and persecutions. Unreasonable fears.
Well, the people that don't understand our aura yeah, colors, yeah. You know, that's why we have to spread the word.
Right.
So that they get it. So I mean, they don't persecute us.
But we usually do try to alleviate fears. Like when people come into the group and they're like, I've been cursed. We try to tell you that you haven't.
Yeah, that's okay. True. Look at us trying to defend ourselves.
Yeah, we're a cult. Number 5, a belief that former followers are always wrong for leaving and there's never a legitimate reason for anyone else to leave. So you can't leave. You have to stay.
You're not allowed to go. We'll persecute you.
Well, that's not true because we do overtime and we tell you to leave.
No, we do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. abusive members, 6.
Okay.
Number 8. I skipped one here. Followers feeling they are never able to be good enough.
Oh,
that's exactly the opposite of what we try to do. We try to make everyone feel that they are good enough.
That's terrible.
A belief that the leader is right at all times. I want to have that one for myself.
That's for you.
That's me,
I'm okay with not being right all the time.
Yeah. A belief that the leader is exclusive means of knowing truth or giving validation. So, like, only the leader gets the messages. And this is, I mean.
Well, that's something that I'm.
We could go all day on that
one. Yeah, but that's, like, a big thing I try to do here, especially with the auras. Like, yes, I see auras, but I've been trying to teach you all, like, it's about you.
Right.
You know, it's about what you feel inside. Trying to give that power back to everybody. Each and every one of you has the power. So I'm trying to teach as my education background follows me into this world. I'm trying to teach everybody else to do it for themselves.
Okay. All right, so I guess I don't know. Well, let's
we're
put
like
this
a soft cult.
We're a soft cult. We're a jovial cult.
Anytime we have our get-togethers, the hotel, they think we're a cult.
We might be like that old 1600s definition of the cult.
Okay. We're a jovial cult.
All right.
It's very low stress belong.
So let me ask you a couple questions. Let's put this into aura color here.
Okay.
All right, so typically, I mean, I can pretty much assume the answers to this, but who is going to be your leader of the cult? What colors would you say?
Yeah. So when I look at cult leaders throughout history, especially the more notable ones, I mean, listen, like, not to pick on the greens, but it's not a normal green person. It's like a weird, slimy kind of green color. People, robotic. I would even say just not even of, they don't even feel human to me. So it's like they're wearing a color to fit in, but it's really not even about that. Like almost like they're green, they're wearing green, but to understand the system of people, if that makes sense.
Right.
So they're green, but it's like a slimy green.
Okay.
And it's not like a real green color. It's a slimy green. It's like slimy cult leader green. It's not like guru green. I'll talk about guru greens. Like sometimes, green auras who are really great teachers or spiritual leaders or whatnot, you might hear me call them, oh, that's a guru green. Different than that. These people are a slimy color. And how it feels is that they're kind of like a snake, or they kind of feel like they're encroaching in on your space, or you don't have your own thoughts. Like anything you think, you know, they can feel it and ascertain it and judge it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what they feel like. Okay. They feel omnipresent.
All right. So you would say it's typically this offshoot of green.
Yeah.
What about reds? Do reds make good cult leaders? Would I make a good cult leader?
I don't see red cult leaders.
Okay.
And the ones that you stereotypically... Like, I'll see red rebellion leaders or red, like, motorcycle gang leaders or red, like, organized crime bosses. Like, I'll see them. Like, if I'm trying to do, like, the negative leadership kind of stuff, I see reds more going to those negative leaders. I think the cult thing fits the green because it's a system.
Okay.
And what makes the cults creepy is the systematic way that they operate.
So red
versus, like, organized crime. That's bad, too, but I don't know. It's, like, it's different. You know what I mean? It's more, violent or something.
Okay, so...
outwardly...
All right. That makes sense. And again, I think the definition you said is a small religious group. So a red might be more like, let's say, a person in power. They'd be more gravitate to more like a political position where they can kind of lead and say, you know,
Like
from that position.
I see some red politicians who kind of latch on to the religious stuff or whatnot to feed their own agenda. Okay. But they're not really involved so much in the agenda, more about sidelining with it to lift themselves up.
Okay. Is there any other color that could pull it off? Could a yellow?
No.
A purple? Blue?
They could try.
And Indigo probably can.
Like I see turquoise. Like the partners of the cult leaders. So like sometimes these cult leaders will have like a partner, usually like a woman or something like that. And they're, you'll see like a lot of purple or turquoise or sometimes even indigo. Those colors come in, but because they're so latched on to pleasing the cult leader and being their partner, that's where all their focus is. And they lose it to the bigger picture. How am I affecting other people? So they kind of lock in their empath stuff to the negative side or the dark side of being an empath, and they focus it all on the cult leader.
Okay.
And then they kind of become the empathic extension of what they're doing, and then they can become that other way using the dark empath skills to engage other people in. Like if you don't connect to what he's saying, well, talk to me. I'm his wife. I know him better. Or usually it's a man and a woman. That's usually how these things work. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's go the other way. Now, I don't think I could ever join a cult.
Yeah,
I mean, I could possibly lead a cult, but I don't think I could ever join a cult.
Okay.
It just wouldn't be in me to follow someone without questioning them. You know, like I cannot get over the fact that I can't question you. Where'd you get this information from? It would be impossible for me to join. Okay.
Correct.
So what about colors that would be more inclined to join a cult? Is there one?
Yeah, I would say that's like turquoise.
Turquoise, okay.
Indigo, blue.
Blues.
Maybe purple on a bad day, but they're also going to leave first, too.
Right. Yellow would be too – want to know too much info, right?
If you lead with the yellow, probably not.
Okay.
You know, I can see, let's say, a yellow-purple, like the purple being drawn into the cult and then the yellow side of them being put to work. Like, oh, hey, you can be in charge of our farmer's market or something.
Okay.
They always have a farmer's market.
As long as
market.
You give them –
Yeah. Like, okay. Here, you're in charge of this. You're the accountant for the cult. And then they're like, ah, cool. All right, I'll be the accountant for the cult. You know, I can see, like, if you have an effective cult leader and they give them aura jobs based on it, if they can find their own footing within it, but just based on straight up following, you know, being a follower, yellows have a hard time being a follower.
Right, right.
Reds and have a hard time being a follower. Greens can be a follower if they have their own kingdom within it somehow.
Okay.
Which I think we're going to talk about.
All right. And the final question I have on cults in general in order of color would be, okay, so let's say for some reason I did get into this cult.
You're born
into it. I'm this red, blue. Does it change my colors?
Sure does.
Okay.
Yes.
And what would it change my color to,
like,
mostly?
When I see children who are born into cults, they're just cult blue.
Cult blue.
It's a weird
– new term here.
Blue.
Cult blue.
Cult blue.
Cult
it's
blue.
This weird blue color – it feels like they're just groupthink. Their brain does not function independently. It's a collective. It's like hive mentality. It's completely groupthink. You are 100% outside of yourself all the time, picking up what others are telling you is correct or what reality is and all that. There's zero understanding of your own self and how you work independently from the group or the hive or the groupthink. So it's like I don't care. And I will say that I am sure if you are born into a cult and you have some sort of aura color, like let's say you're red or you're purple or you're yellow, you're going to have that. How do I put that? Like taken out of you very quickly as a child. Like and it'll be called evil or willful or something like that. And for survival's sake, you will bury that energy.
This is really fascinating. So if you saw, let's say, a picture of a child who's in a cult, was born into the cult.
They look different.
You'd see this like cultish blue color,
yeah,
you're saying?
They look different.
And you wouldn't be able to pick up their true color,
you
right?
Can't you can't see them.
You wouldn't be able
you
to do it.
You can't see their colors.
You can't see it.
You can't.
Okay.
You can't see their colors. It's weird.
They would have to break free from that
cult, and
then have years away before it probably came out.
Or if they go through some sort of trauma or something within it, then I could probably see their colors.
Gotcha.
But it's so interesting because when they start identifying as themselves or feeling themselves, what are they told? You're wrong. You're bad. You're not part of the group. You're unlovable. But that's every time they connect to who they actually are inside of themselves, they are probably usually threatened with being cast out.
All right. All right. We have one ad from Base, which is actually really cool. We used it on our trip.
We just
went on a trip. We used it. It's really fantastic. And then when we come back after that ad, we're going to talk about this cult. I'm going to call it a cult. I think definitely fits the characteristics of the IBLP.
We just went on a getaway for about a week into the woods. And what did I bring? My Base Weekender bag. Can I tell you, it fit absolutely everything and more into that bag. It zipped up and it looked amazing and it's easy to carry and it's very foldable and packable. My Weekender bag has been the thing I didn't know I needed until I have it now. I like it so much. I went back on the Base website and I got their sports sling. And let me tell you, I have been using the Base sports sling nonstop on my vacation. I have another one coming up in a few weeks. I'm going to be using it then too. They just have a practicality about them and they are very usable, and they're really just an overpacker's dream. It can be hard to fit everything in, especially when it comes to luggage, but with Base, there is room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip, no problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes, bring them all with Base. Base was created by actress Shay Mitchell to make sleek and affordable bags, luggage, and accessories designed to help you travel effortlessly while still looking fashionable. Base has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need to keep organized. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips like I just took, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Base has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Base has your personal items covered. Right now, Base is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/KYA. Go to basetravel.com/KYA for 15% off your first purchase. That's Base, B-E-I-S, travel.com/KYA. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so we recently watched the Amazon Prime documentary, Shiny Happy People, which talked about the IBLP community and also about the Duggar family, which really brought out its teachings to the forefront publicly.
Yes.
And you did some research. What'd you find out?
Yeah, I did some research. And of course, I also watched the show with you. I think we alluded to this last week that you were very excited about it.
Yeah.
You watched the Duggars when it was on.
I've been watching it since the beginning.
One of your favorite shows at the time.
Yeah, I love that show. Because I agreed with them, because
no,
I was so fascinated by how screwed up it was.
And like I said, I might have seen one or two episodes. I said this last week as well.
Right.
And then every time I'd walk in, I would get creeped out by Jim Bob or Billy Bob, whatever his name is.
You are always creeped out by
them. The wife would just freak me out. And I couldn't stay there more than a few minutes before I'm like, this is freaking crazy. And I just red rant out of the room.
Right.
So I didn't watch it. But all right. But I did want to do some research on it. And, you know, I did watch the documentary and I wanted to make sure that it was kind of all matching up, you know, because I like to question things. That's why I wouldn't be good in a cult. You know, if someone is just telling you information and you're just believing them, then, well, you're doing something wrong. You have to do your research.
Question.
So,
right.
All right. So the Institute in Basic Life Principles, and the acronym is IBLP. They say it all throughout this documentary.
Yeah.
It was established in 1961, you know, under a different name. Was not called that at the time. Eventually it changed the name by a guy named Bill Gothard.
Right.
And you're going to do the reading on him.
Yeah.
creepy dude. And basically, it was an organization to provide instruction on how to find success in life by following biblical principles, the teachings in the Bible, but of course, according to Bill Gothard, his interpretation. So it is a Christian-based, again, I don't know if we want to call it religion.
Yeah.
We'll call it a cult here because it's a fine line. But Bill Gothard is using the Bible and Christian principles, changing them around to fit his narrative of his cult leader, you know, whatever he was trying to do here.
Yeah.
And then getting people to join this based on his teachings. What was part of this? Well, the first thing is you got to be homeschooled.
Okay.
And that, I mean, right there is your first red flag, you know, because again, remember we went through that list with things that you're in a cult. And if you're homeschooled, that means you're not getting any outside information.
Right.
Where are you getting your information from? Well, you're getting your information from Bill Gothard and, you know, the people that he had create the homeschooling curriculum.
Because that was the ATI or
which was called, ATI, the Advanced Training Institute.
Right. He's like, homeschool them with my curriculum.
Right. And it was, and they were all called wisdom booklets.
Mm.
And you can still buy these booklets,
by the way.
We were
looking at them. We were like, whoa.
Like, whoa. Okay.
Like, this is...
Like, there's no, like, 3 times 3 = 9.
It's really weird.
Just, yeah. It's
They're
just,
very
like,
odd.
Very strange.
Yeah.
So this is what your education was supposed to be. You weren't supposed to go to school. You weren't supposed to question anything. You were just supposed to get homeschooling from these books that Bill Gothard created with his team. And they were expensive, by the way. You had to pay for it, too. It wasn't, like, just give it to you freely. Had to pay for this
right,
as well.
Course. So business.
Business, yes.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars coming in through this. What are the teachings in there? Well, Father, number one, Father is the king.
Mm.
Well, first you have Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is on top.
Right.
He's everything. And then the father of the family is the king.
Okay.
Okay.
It's like umbrellas.
Yeah, they had like, in the film, it was like an umbrella. So you had Jesus, and then you had the father.
Mm.
Okay. The father is superior to everyone inside of his umbrella, which would be his family, other than Jesus. Okay. So men, the teaching is men are superior to women in all facets of life. There's nothing that a woman is better at than a man, except for maybe cooking and cleaning and those kind of things.
Right.
A woman must obey everything the man says, no matter what.
Yeah.
Anything.
And they talk about obedience like it's like a, oh, I love it. It's such a freedom. It's a choice I make to be obedient.
It's a choice you make
to be obedient. It's a choice I made. I'm free to be obedient. Like what? Obedience gives me freedom, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and again, yeah,
I mean, like,
this is all facets of life, by the way. So anything the man requests, you have to do.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Oh,
you know,
and yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I know we're not in the Duggar part yet, but she would always say that.
Yeah.
It's called joyfully available.
Right.
For anything.
Right. So I will just use the word Jumanji here. Anything in that way, you got to do.
Joyfully available.
Joyfully available.
24/7.
Right, we'll call it joyfully. Is that what they call
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
She would say that.
Okay. See, this is why I couldn't
watch the show. In her creepy voice.
In that creepy voice. She's so creepy. And basically, a woman was raised to be a good mother, good wife. That was their role.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting because if you go back into history and you go – you know, that and you don't even have to go thousands of years. But that was a role in many civilizations. You know, I'm not going to go into all the ancient civilizations now, but that's what the woman's role was. So it's almost like it's like doing the time warp. You're going back in time.
It's gender roles, right?
Yeah, you're going way back. It's like and everything that rights that women have gained in the last hundreds of years, you're just taking them and throwing them out the window.
Yeah.
You know, I assume that would be even voting. If your husband said, you vote for this person,
oh, yes.
You have to vote for that person.
Yeah,
you know,
that was the whole
Yeah.
thing with voting, with women's vote.
Yeah.
Like some women were like, oh, I don't want to go against my husband or make him feel like his opinion's good enough for me. That was kind of like the opposite argument at that time.
And then the father would select. So then let's say your daughter eventually it's time to get to leave. I don't know what age they send them away. But then the father picks the husband.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot pick your own husband. The father will pick who he's going to give you off to. And I don't know what kind of arrangements are made there. I mean, it's almost like an arranged marriage type of deal.
Okay.
And then you have like a courting. And I think they showed all this stuff in the Duggar shows.
Yeah.
There's like a whole courting practices, you know, where you can't touch and you can't do this and you can't do all that. But the father is the one that picks it.
Yeah.
He's like, the one.
The girl doesn't have the say.
The girl does not have the say. And you're under the father's umbrella until – you are given over to the man, the husband, the new husband, and then you're under his umbrella.
Right.
So you go right under his umbrella.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay. Other things, this is the funniest thing. No television. Okay. You're not supposed to watch TV. Well, isn't the whole Duggar show on TV?
I know.
So there's Jim Bob. What is it? Jimmy Bob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. So the principle of Bill Gothard is if you're following it, you can't watch television.
Well, they call it a ministry.
Right. Yeah. And now here you are on TV. So that seemed a little strange to me too. No movies, no dancing.
Yeah.
You could listen to music, but it had to be only certain Christian music,
mm-hmm.
Even some Christian rock was banned as well.
Like yeah.
Christian type songs were banned. In essence, you're good. You are a good to that husband. So you're just a good of him.
You're not a person.
You're not a person. You're like this pen. I have a pen in my hand right now. That's a good. That's what you are to this man.
Yep.
And
And
basically, so now you say, well, okay. I mean, I guess you're going to question why, or maybe you probably don't if you're in this cult. But the reason why it was set up this way is so that Satan would never get into your life. So as long as you fit into this mold where Jesus is an umbrella system. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the top umbrella. The Father is the second umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
The wife then would be under the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids would be under the wife. So as long as everything fit that mold, that umbrella system, Satan would never get in to your life.
Right.
You would be fine. You're going to live this incredible life and a successful life, according to Bill Gothard.
Right.
The whole problem with this, in my opinion, is that Satan is living under the umbrella.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, you don't have – it's not keeping Satan out.
Yeah.
Satan is in the umbrella. It's attracting Satan's.
Yeah.
You know, we'll use –
metaphorical purposes. It's attracting bad agendas.
Yeah. It's attracting people with bad agendas.
And it's creating – perfect victims.
And it's creating these perfect victims. Mm-hmm. And there it is. You don't need Satan to come from outside the umbrella because he's already in the umbrella.
Yeah.
Under the umbrella. Sorry.
Yeah.
So that was what the documentary was about. And Bill Gothard. All right. So they do have like some of his speeches in the documentary, and they show him he looks creepy, but let's get the aura take on him. So give me the Bill Gothard aura take.
All right. So this is where I have to watch what I say, because I don't use the term lizardy very lightly.
Lizardy?
Because what happened was, is I think like during the pandemic, there was a lot of like lizard people, reptilian, like that went on a whole thing. But I don't have another word for him other than that. It's like, what are you really? He doesn't feel human to me. And I even tried to find pictures of him when he was younger, and I did, and it's the same feeling. So I'm looking at him. He's a young man, maybe in his 20s in this picture. And the color is weird. So I see red and I see green, but it doesn't look like other people look. There's something wrong with it. It's filmy. It looks like something you put on to cover up things. It looks like when people aren't around, something else is going on. So to me, this person feels like, you know, evil things, I don't think ever, or evil people, and if you've been abused or hurt, you understand this. They don't look evil. They look like they fit in perfectly. And that's the scariest freaking part. And this guy looks like that. So, but if you really look at him, you're like, oh, wow. There's something, a buffer between him and his humanity, and I can't get to it. That's what it feels like to me. So it's a very filmy, like red and green energy around him. He pretends to be blue. He's not. Right.
So he has no real true empath color?
I don't feel empathy on him. He feels like a robot person to me, or like not, or like kind of like alligators feel like they, to me, like just like not quite there, you know, like very just systematic, or like just not connecting.
Yeah.
But has to pretend to connect. Has to pretend to connect. And is probably, and he obviously was, because you have to be smart to do something like this, and you have to know people to do something like this as well as he did it, honestly. And his ability to simplify, I feel like, just comes from his ability to step back from people and separate himself from people and orchestrate them like a puppet master. So anyway, so when I look at him, it's not a normal aura.
Okay.
It's weird, and it's very cult leader aura-ish because it's slimy and it's not right and there's something wrong with it. But we feel that on people like this. We feel
it.
But I can see if you were in it, if you were in this world, you would confuse that with him feeling very much like a deity or something. You would confuse that with feeling like, oh, he's just really smart and I just don't get it. Or he's just really connected to God or whatever you want to call it. And I'm not. I'm lowly. So because you're kept so down, you would see that. And instead of questioning it, it's like, ew. You'd be more like, oh, it's just because he's better than me. Or he just gets it more than I do. Like there'd be a superiority justification for it. I feel like we all feel it just based on our filters might call it something different.
All right. Now, I assume that most of us would look at his picture or going to watch this video or have seen the movie, the documentary, and just take 2 seconds can tell this guy is not right.
If you didn't know who he was,
you'd be like,
let's say it's just this picture. Okay,
he looks creepy to me.
Let's just say you saw it on the wall.
Yeah.
Of, oh, I'm walking into an organization. Here's this guy's picture on a wall. Because that's what it looks like.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like he looks like a board member. Or like he's just very vanilla looking as a person.
Yeah, but there's something creepy about it.
There's still something creepy about
but
it.
But I wouldn't say.
But the more you hang out with us, the more you hang out with people, like-minded people,
right.
Like you start questioning people that you meet. If you're not taught to question these things, immediately you're like, oh, he's just, that's just him. That's just, da-da-da. You know, I grew up very, very Catholic, which is not a call at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like we had priests and we had people that, like fathers that were in charge of the school that I went to and everything. And it was like, oh, that's father. I don't want to say his name, but that's father him. And he's amazing. And he's like top dog, top cheese. Everything he says is great. Like there's a lot of hype for these people. So I can't imagine being in a smaller, more toxic environment where the same thing's happening. Like people are, they get all confused. And then you start thinking gross people like this are actually awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. I understand that, I guess.
I know. You're like...
It's hard for me to... Yeah.
This has been hard for you.
Yeah. It's hard because I just truly can't wrap my head around how...
If you're born into it...
I guess if you're born into it.
If you're born into it,
that's
no
a different
hope
story.
For you.
No, there'd be no hope.
No.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
Yes. It would take like a miracle to get out of it.
I guess my point is like we all can feel these people. We all have the ability to feel that these people are off.
Right.
It's just based on your programming. You might have been told that off is actually... good.
Oh, good. Yeah. Now it's interesting. I mean, this guy is evil, by the way. I mean, things he did and sickness and what he created.
Abuse.
But
terrible.
At any point, and I'm not comparing the two. You know, Adolf Hitler was red, green. You said in a previous episode.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a scum. You know, different type of whole different ball game here. But
yeah.
But you said you thought when he was a child, Adolf Hitler, that there could have been a possibility of a little blue in there.
Yeah.
But it got crushed out by, you know, his family, his life.
Okay. I forget.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't always remember.
I did that because, you know, I was always fascinated by how...
how does somebody
he was
turn
a cult leader,
way?
Too. I mean, Hitler was the ultimate cult leader of cult leaders. I mean, he created the ultimate cult. So does it? Did this guy? Could you pick that up, or you can't even pick it up?
I wish I could find a picture of him younger.
Yeah,
because
at some point did he have some
empathy?
Nobody's
born this way.
Right.
I really don't feel people are born this way.
Yeah.
I don't. I think I looked at a picture of Putin the other, like a couple episodes ago, and I felt bad for him, like little baby Putin.
Like he has some normal color in there.
You know. Yes. You know. I don't. People aren't born evil. I really feel like it's a choice you make to step aside, let something else enter. Right. And I can only say, from personal knowledge, I don't know what that something else is, but it's a void and it's not connected to humanity at all.
Right.
And it's something else. And it's something I don't even like to talk about. It's like a darkness.
Okay.
So I do believe we all have a choice. We all have a choice and we make it at some point. And once you make it bad enough, there's no going back.
Wow. Okay. So
dark. I don't think a lot of people do it.
Yeah, it's real dark.
A lot of people that do it kind of, you know, we notice them. I mean, look at serial killers. Look at I mean, there's, we could go all around with this. It's a weird void, emptiness, kind of blank stare look that they all have. And it's because they stepped out. They stepped out and something else is occupying that space now.
Right. All right.
I don't know what that is.
All right, so here's this guy. He creates this.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's attracting men who want to be in charge. Maybe they have something wrong with them where they feel like losers or insecure or whatever. So guys like Billy Bob, whatever, that guy from the Duggars. And everything's under their umbrella. And in essence, they're now going to let, for lack of a better term, Satan into their home, because anything that they want to do to these women and children is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a little break. We'll do Rocket Money. And then we're going to talk about this pure evil person who's now in jail, thank God, and how this system created by Bill Gothard led to that.
When I just started using Rocket Money, I got a little alert because Rocket Money discovered a subscription that one of my children had signed up for and I was actually paying for without even realizing that. And guess what? I simply pressed the button and Rocket Money canceled it for me. They saved me any sort of tricky, time-consuming steps that would have led me to delaying that or just having a headache over it. Here's the deal. Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, but the actual total is closer to $200. If you don't know exactly how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app, and it finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It also monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, and chances are you are one of them, like I was. Like that Stars app just to watch that one show or that free gaming trial you never actually used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions for you. And for any that you don't want to pay for anymore, all you do is hit cancel and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. It is that easy. But Rocket Money also helps you manage all your finances in one place and automatically categorizes your expenses. So you can easily track your budget in real time and also get alerted if anything looks off. You know, mindfulness makes a difference and Rocket Money has helped me with that and they'll help you with that. Actually, over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/KYA. That's rocketmoney.com/KYA. rocketmoney.com/KYA. For this next segment, I'm just going to issue a little trigger warning because we will be talking about sexual abuse in the upcoming segment. Hey, Scotty.
All right. Hey, guys. Okay. So now, we've talked now about the cult itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to talk about this family, which most people know, the Duggar family, because of their show. I think it was 17 Kids Accounting and then became 18 or 19 Kids Accounting, whatever.
They were on for a really long time on TLC and had a bunch of kids.
And that was early 2000s or mid 2000s, 2008-ish, I think, around there.
Something like that.
And that's really, at first, I think people watched this show and they just thought, oh, this is kind of funny. They
don't, so many kids. How do you feed them all?
Right. Yeah. Like that kind of thing. They're so well-behaved.
They are so well-behaved. How does she keep them all so well-behaved?
They don't dance, you know, at parties. Oh, this is weird. What
it
is this?
It started getting weirder.
Right. And they're the ones that actually brought this Institute in Basic Life Principles to more some people knew about it, mainstream. I don't think it would have became as known, obviously, without this TV show. And I'm sure Bill Gothard and crew were behind the scenes with this.
The TV show is really a commercial
for this Institute.
For the Institute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It probably brought a lot of people in.
All right. So the leader behind this, because he's on top of the umbrella, on top of all the 19 kids and counting, is Jim Bob.
Yes.
All right. So let's do the aura reading first on Jim Bob.
So Jim Bob is, he's green and purple, but he pretends to be blue. So that's okay. What you got to understand. Now, again, this is not a knock on green people. I feel like I'm always knocking on green people. It's not a knock on green people.
Right.
It's just that, like, you know, I can see, like, red aura problematic dads would be handling this in a different way. They're more, like, loud if they're problematic. This is not a healthy green purple person, like, at all. Because when I look at him, well, first of all, when I look at him when he's younger, because I got a picture of him when he was younger, he's green purple, but he's got this kind of, like, agenda, this need, this drive, this motivation. And desperately looking for an avenue in which to utilize it and use it. So it makes sense that this IBLP would work for him because, just like you were saying, it's a place where the man can be king.
Right.
And he was looking to be king somewhere. And this was the perfect place for him to be a king. And I think that that's a big attractive quality to some men who needed to feel that way in a world where it's not that easy to feel like a king. And at least they could feel it in this way. Well, anyways, So I feel like he just has like a lot of energy and a lot of motivation. And when I look at him, he's green and purple, but he wears an inauthentic blue. Like he's pretending to be something, but he's not. I feel like with him, like if that's your dad and you go up to him, as long as you say everything that you know that he's cool with, you'll get the pat on the back and the approval and the love. But if you say something that goes against it, that's it. Because he can do that green aura thing when I see in very unhealthy green aura people where the wall goes up. And the wall is also how you get to God. And the wall is how you stay on the side. You know, the wall means hell. Like you hit the wall, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
So he uses that as a manipulation tactic. Listen, I'm your umbrella, right? Like I'm your ticket to God. I'm the one that knows the most in this household.
As long as you listen to me, you're safe.
Yeah. But if you don't, that's hell for you. And you've been taught from a very young age that hell's a very real thing and it's very scary and it's not something you want to do. So anyway, so he definitely uses that to just manipulate his crew.
So does he believe in these principles of Gothard or just to his own means?
I feel like he believes that he's supposed to be I'm not a professional, but I would say he has some sort of personality disorder issue of grandiosity.
Yeah.
I see it in him when he's younger too. It's like he deserves to be the rich and the famous one. He deserves to do this. And everything that he does that might be seen as, I don't know, questionable, he is not supposed to be questioned because it's for the greater good. So he has convinced himself in his grandiose thinking that this is all, anything he does is ordained. Everything he does is forgiven. Everything he does is okay. It's a means to an end.
Okay.
So I believe he believes that about himself, but I also believe that he might have something wrong with him.
Okay. Now, and again, I don't mean to pat myself on the back here, but when I was watching that show for the few minutes that I would watch it, I probably was picking up his inauthentic blue. I didn't know what to call it.
Yeah.
Now I know what to call it. But this guy's a phony. Like, I mean, I knew that the whole time.
That's what it feels like.
He felt so phony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
because, like, condescending.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, okay.
Like, what is this? Who is this guy? You know, telling these little girls what to do all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, so that was his inauthentic blue that he was trying to portray on the TV show.
As a doofus dad.
Right. But he's really, truly green purple. Okay, and that makes sense. And again, according to the principles, he shouldn't even be on the TV show, but there he is on the TV show. Okay.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even be watching the TV. All
well,
right, so,
it's okay because this is how he can minister to the heathens.
Right.
and get them on the side of God.
Right.
So
right. Okay.
You understand. And there's a these people have reasons for everything. Just like a lot of narcissistic people have reasons for everything.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right. So the next person is the wife.
Oh.
And she like freaks me out.
Yeah,
like I was watching Scott's the documentary scared. And they showed like her talking in this voice. I can't do the voice. You probably do the voice better.
Like, hi, everybody. Huh? Yeah, that's how she talks.
And she creeps me out.
Well, she never yells. And yeah. That's like a big thing in the Gothard. Like you're not allowed, women aren't allowed to be shrill or raise their voice.
Right.
Or anything
it's
like that.
Blanket time.
Well, the blanket training is one of the most disturbing things because they had this like the Pearl method by this couple who basically taught you how to beat your children.
Oh, yeah.
And they
I
were,
saw that. Yeah, part of the
and
documentary.
They
yeah.
were, the Duggars actually were saying how great of a program this is.
No, I know.
Oh, it's great. And it's called blanket training when they legit put an infant on a blanket and put a toy they want just out of their reach. And anytime they go to reach for the toy, they get hit with something. And that's how you're going to beat the red aura or the purple aura or the yellow aura right out of somebody. There you go. You know,
yeah.
Or even the green aura. Bye. Hit, hit, hit. And she's talking about this like it's okay. And I used to tell my kids, go get your favorite toy. It's time for blanket time.
Yeah,
and you just lost it.
I lost it. I'm like, someone get rid of this woman. What did I say? I can't remember. I was like something real
like,
nasty.
She's got to go away.
She's something.
She can't be on this planet anymore.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah,
it was really creepy. And everybody said, if you watch the show, she never raised her voice. And everyone was like, I've never heard Michelle yell. I've never heard Michelle raise her voice. Well, let me tell you, I'm a mom. That is not normal. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's okay for your kids to see you freak out every once in a while. Because that's real.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah. Let's get to her in a second. I just want to add this one thing. I mean, first of all, this is not a show to watch if you're a red. It will drive you insane. It's going to be red rant after red rant. There was one scene that I cannot still get out of my head. And again, trigger warning if you want to throw it there.
Yeah.
There was a pastor in part of the IBLP community that was modeling how to spank children on stage in front of everybody. So they bring up this little boy that he doesn't know. He starts spanking him.
Yeah.
Then he says, after the spank, you give a hug. So this is so creepy.
Sick.
So the little boy gives the pastor, who doesn't know, a hug. Then, you know, like, all right, we got your point at this point. All right, we get it. All right, let's end this thing now. He's like, then the pastor goes, you didn't hug me hard enough. You go back for more spanking. And in front of everyone, he's spanking this boy again.
Yeah.
And then this boy has to give him another hug.
In front of a stadium of people. Thinks this is great.
Who thinks this is fantastic. I nearly lost my crap. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I wanted, like, is this guy in jail? This guy should be killed.
Yeah.
You know, I went on a freaking red rant.
You just saw somebody enjoying something.
Yeah. And on his face, you could tell he liked this.
Yeah, it was freaking sick.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's like a whole, it's a celebratory culture towards that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. So what's Michelle
she's
now?
She's cult blue.
Cult blue.
She is cult blue to the core. Like, does this woman even have her own thoughts? I don't think so. And I got a picture of her when she was younger.
Well, she's property. That's what she
That's
is.
That's what she is.
She's property.
She's totally bought into that. And I got a picture of when she was younger. And younger her is like a turquoise purple. And she was like a cheerleader. Okay. Now she like, and it's true, like the entire show and then in the documentary too, she puts down how I wore short skirts. I was defrauding men and I didn't even realize it. Like she was doing these horrific things in life by being a cheerleader, just enjoying herself or whatever and having a boyfriend when she was 16 or whatnot and just talking about herself like she was this horrific person. But actually back then she was at least a person. Now she's just a cloud of blue, cult blue. So you're not really talking to anybody. I feel like, you know, as their mom, that's your mom, right? So let's say you're a young girl and you're like, mom, this is a feeling I'm having. It's what I'm going on. You're not going to hear mom's advice. You're going to hear mom regurgitating this Bill Gothard advice. Like, you're not going to be getting real advice from mom. You're going to be getting mom's recycled advice.
So why does she terrify me when I see her?
Because it's not.
It's like, am I seeing like a red green blob trying to go
like,
of Gothard go through her.
She's in there.
She's in there.
She's at least in there. You want to like wake up, woman. Like okay. Wake up, shake. Come on. You want to drag her out of there.
Wow.
I mean, and remember this woman, since she's, I think she got married at 17, she's had a ton of kids. Like,
yeah.
God knows what shape she's in mentally.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
I mean, she's had, I think, 20 kids. One died. I mean, so she's been like constantly just regurgitating other people's, I don't know. So she's not probably in a great space herself.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, so that sets up the top of the umbrella with the father, Jim Bob, and then the next is Michelle, the wife. And then I'm assuming this was their firstborn son.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
All right. Yeah.
All right, so this is now they're creating the Satan that's going to live under the umbrella and who they're going to defend.
Okay.
So this is Josh,
mm-hmm.
and then he married Diana, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, so – You can take this one because otherwise I'm going to go crazy.
Okay, so Josh is their eldest, and they had the show. They started the show, and basically you find out in 2015 that he had molested when he was like 14 or 15 or both. For probably several years. He was molesting a bunch of his sisters.
Right.
And the parents never reported it. And instead they sent him to like IBLP
training
camp.
Program or something, yeah.
Which has been, I think, investigated by Child Protective Services itself because they said it's a place where children go to disappear and it's just like really weird. So he received no help there. Nothing like
zero.
That.
Nothing.
And I even, yeah. So anyway, so they didn't do anything is my point. They sent him to this institute, which was not certain. Like, and you know, it's sad because if they had contacted the proper resources and the proper therapy, maybe he could have been helped. Maybe something could have happened there. Anyways, so you find this out. And you find out that they started a show understanding that this information could come out at any time. They were just so confident that it wouldn't.
Yeah, well, and that's what they were saying, that Jim Bob had such authority over all these kids. I don't know if it was 17 at the time when they first started or 15 or whatever, that he knew
they
nobody
talk.
Would ever say a word.
Right. And somebody, and they didn't. Somebody
they didn't.
Else it was, came out in a totally different way, like a friend of the family alerted somebody else. So anyway, so that came out. Then he's already married at the time and everyone, they downplay it. And he sends, you know, his Jim Bob, and this is all in the documentary, sends his two of the girls that were molested, to downplay it on national TV in a Megyn Kelly interview on Fox. And they have to downplay it, which you see Jill later regret. And she just had to do it. She was forced. And then you find out 6 years later that he has child pornography on his computer. The most vile, vicious. I mean, there isn't a good child pornography, but apparently it is the most vicious, disgusting, worst, horrific cases they said they've ever seen. And now he's in jail for 12 and a half years because of it. But Jim Bob spent a lot of money defending his kid. And, you know, they said it was like, I don't know, the woke left trying to come after their family and cancel. And it wasn't real and blah, 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 blah. Well, anyways, the evidence was irrefutable. Like, he did it.
Right.
So he was found guilty. So what color is Josh, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I guess so.
Josh?
I mean, it's almost like I just want to not even mention it, but okay.
Yeah, he's
unmentionable.
It's not even worth the color.
It's not even worth the
it's
color.
Not
it's not even worth
the
telling
color.
His color.
He's cult blue, but he's got the slimy green, I had to look at him as pictures when he was a kid.
Okay.
Because it's hard to look at him now because he doesn't feel like what he did was wrong. I can tell that in his like current pictures, like nothing, everything he does was like, oh, and I think, I don't know if this is part of it. I don't know if you research this or whatever, but I feel like this cult gives you some sort of out, like, well, the devil entered.
Yes.
And the devil did it. And it wasn't my fault. It was the devil. And it's like, there's like no personal responsibility.
Oh,
my
no,
point.
There's none. And Bill Gothard himself, by the way, was never found guilty in a court of law. Mm-hmm. But he was sexually, you know, accused of doing this to all, you know, these girls in the
Yes.
So, again, he was never found guilty in a court of law, but
allegedly,
he was doing all this stuff to them. He was setting, he was creating it.
Predators and creating victims.
Oh yeah.
And Josh is a created
predator. You're a good. You're a pen.
Well, when I look at him as a kid, like there's a superiority that's given to him.
Right.
So he has like a superiority complex. I see red in him. I see green in him. I see inauthentic blue. He's like trying to be somebody that he's not. He's latching on outside of himself. So where a lot of the kids are wearing that cult blue, where they're latching outside to groupthink or that hive mentality to understand what if they're being good or not, he is being given a different set of instructions. Whereas you are already, because you're the eldest son, you're already great. You're already amazing. You did nothing to earn that. You're already the second in command of this household. So you did nothing to earn that. That's just who you are. And everybody else is a nobody or property or whatever or underneath you. And so I feel like it went to his head and conscience got taken out of it. So I don't know if they're not teaching people conscience or just like empathy or we don't do something not because God says it's right or not, just because as a person and would you want that to do to you and human connection and that kind of thing. It's a different sort of rationale for stuff. Everything's like that. The system is bigger than the connection to people. So in any case, he's all sorts of different colors and I can't even label one on him. Sometimes when I see a blend like that, even as a kid, like just that blend on him, it feels to me, this kid never had a chance and possibly they, I'm not a professional, but my question to professionals is, can you create this in some, can you create mental illness in somebody by raising them incorrectly? Can you create like a sociopath? Can you? I mean, I don't know how that works. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, I guess I would then question, and I don't know all the 19 kids. So I would also question the other boys in the family. I don't know how old they are or whatnot. You know, I don't know. Maybe they are doing this to the other girls in there. I have no idea.
Some of them feel weird. Some of them don't.
Yeah. I mean, is this something that it's a great question. Like, you know, like, because there are other boys in that family.
Yeah.
Did they do the same thing and it's covered up too? Who knows? Or is it just a sickness in this one individual and he happened just to be, you know, in this perfect
situation.
He's the oldest.
And Jim Bob was like priming him to be a second in command.
Right.
He was in. He went for office too. Jim Bob had gone for office. I don't know.
Right, and then he obviously.
It's a superiority complex.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is superiority over others. So the boys are superior over the girls.
Yeah.
There you
but
go.
But I mean, just from looking at, not all the boys are like that. But
okay.
A couple of them I could pull out.
You could be.
Yeah. Just for me, just in my pure aura speculation. But some of the girls. But then Josh's wife, Anna, she's cult blue.
Cult blue.
She's straight up cult blue.
And she's still
in it. Nobody's
this.
Heard from her. She's probably being told it's all her fault.
Right. It's her fault.
It's all her fault.
It's her fault that
she's
looked
got, like,
at
all
those
these kids.
Images.
Yeah. It's all her fault somehow.
And did all this.
She's got like, I think, 7 kids and she's just cult blue. And I think everybody just feels bad for her in a lot of ways. But at the same time, we're like, get it together. it's hard not to victim blame.
Right.
I think in a situation like that, because I don't know what you can't have that manner on your children. But at the same time, she has no education.
Right.
You know,
right,
she got married very young. Right. She's in the same cult. I mean, I don't, you know, God knows the abuse that she's gone through. But then like there are two kids two girls kind of got out of it. Ginger and Jill.
Yeah. Okay. So Jill is the one if in the documentary that's basically telling what went on.
Yeah.
So she's the one that's talking. I think She was the only one.
Yeah.
And, you know, she goes through everything, how she never got – you would think she would have gained wealth from the show, right? Mm-hmm. It was a very popular show. It was a number one hit, I think, at one time. She gained nothing. Everything was signed over to Jim Bob. I think the documentary, I recall them saying at one point they were asking him for money, and he gave them, I think, minimum wage salary or something like that.
Yeah, well, they were all manipulated to sign over.
Yeah, they signed over all their rights. Everything went to Jim Bob.
Yeah.
And even after, because then I think when the allegations came out against Josh with the molestation, they canceled Jim Bob and 19 Kids and Counting, maybe it was called. They canceled that. And then, but then they created a new show,
Counting On,
with the two girls.
Yeah, with Jill.
With Jim, right? But still, Jim Bob was put with his fingers in the pie. Yeah. I mean, even though his name wasn't even on the show.
They were working, and they weren't getting anything.
Right. And yet they had to do all this stuff.
Yes.
And there's Jim Bob, you know,
cashing in. And then he used a lot of that money to defend their abuser in court.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can't even imagine their own issues.
All right, but so what's Jill? Let's go with Jill.
Jill's purple. Now, when you watch her in the show, even back then, when she was wearing some cult blue, she was yellow too. Because I think you can be a little yellow in the cult, like when you... Kind of like I talked about in the beginning, if you're given roles. And she's you can tell she's a smart girl. She's organized. I swear, like, she's the one that, if she was born into a different situation, be a doctor or something like that. Like, she's just very, very intelligent and motivated. You can just tell that about her. But she's yellow. She's purple. She's got blue in there, too. But now the purple's out more. She wasn't purple in the show. She was more kind of like a yellow cult blue. Now she's purple in there. So she's pissed and she's purple. Yeah. She's purple
and
out.
And she was very proud. She got a nose ring. It was like something like so simple. Like, oh, you got a nose ring.
She's like, I made a decision to get a nose ring. That's a big deal for her.
It was huge.
Yeah.
But there you can maybe see that symbolic of the purple.
Yeah.
Of coming out or something like that.
Yeah. And so that's her. And then there's Ginger, who left the IBLP too. She did not participate in the documentary. And she's spoken out about that too, being very cultish.
Okay.
And then there's Jana.
Ginger, what color
Ginger's
is she?
Purple. She's very purple.
She's purple, but she was cult blue.
She was super
they're all cult
blue. They're
all the same color.
They were all cult blue. Now she's more purple Ginger. And I feel like she feels like she's suffered a lot, Ginger. And she's got books coming out and stuff, but I feel like we may not know the extent of it even. I always feel bad for Ginger.
She might have had it. You're saying in terms of the abuse, might have been worse.
Maybe, and not even. It's hard because you can't quantify pain.
No.
I would say more just like, I think the way that her purple was, I feel like she'd abuse herself a lot more, and I feel bad for her in that way. So anyway, she's very purple, and she was a little even like with the cult blue. You could tell the purple was there. A little bit. Like, she always wore, like, the bigger earrings.
Okay. Just like, anything.
She would always kind of, like, wear the more colorful clothes here and there.
So
and
even through all this, you could see, like, you could see their aura.
As they got older, they
just
were
trying to
And marriage for
out.
Them was their out.
Okay.
So you could see this with Jill. Marriage was the out.
Who did she... Okay, and I don't know if you have this offhand. I know her husband was in the documentary, Jill.
Yeah, Derek.
Is he the same cult blue? Because he's in the...
He's
he was in like
not,
a different sect, right?
Yeah, he's a normal green color and blue.
Okay.
But
is there a reason she picked him?
I think her dad actually.
Oh, no, I mean, I know, but her dad, yes, her dad picked him. But is there something that maybe.
He seems like very, for her.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a good listener to her. I mean, these aren't like.
He seems supportive in the documentary.
He's very supportive. These aren't like amazing people, by the way. I don't want to like put these people on a pedestal
because
they still have beliefs that I don't think are very nice.
No, they're all in this.
But at the same time, like for them too, and just I feel like Derek for her, he's not so anti women. He was very close to his mother, Derek, and I don't think he grew up in the same kind of system of women are beneath you and that kind of stuff. He's very close to his mother, and he respected his mother, and his mom had a different relationship with his mom, and he was religious, but not this.
Okay.
Like, he was not, I don't think he was IBPL. He was something.
Okay.
Else.
Yes. And he did know Jim Bob beforehand, and Jim Bob did select him.
Yeah.
When Jill did say in the documentary that, She had a couple of people that she wanted to try to go on a date with. And once Jim Bob heard that, he brought in this guy.
Well, I can see him underestimating
Derek. He underestimated him a little bit. Yeah.
Because Derek totally played the part.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, yes, Mr. Jim Bob. You know, No. I'm a buffoon. I'm not going to amount to much. Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I think he went to law school.
Yeah.
Like, once they got married, he just took off. So I think he kind of played Jim Bob back a little bit. Like, yeah, I'll be the buffoon to marry her.
Okay.
And then, because Jim Bob, I think, was looking for people who are very under. I'll tell you, too, Jessa, who's his, you don't know who the hell I'm talking about.
No, that Jessa's, one I don't know.
Jessa, if she wasn't cult blue, I swear she'd be red and purple.
Oh.
Because she is tough. But she is cult blue. So anyways, but she could just tell. You could tell, like, it might be under there. But the man that he selected for her was kind of like, he's younger than her. He's very subservient.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff. And Ginger, the guy that Ginger married, he had the hardest time accepting that guy into the fold.
Okay.
His name's Jeremy.
Okay.
And he gave him a really hard time, and that was the first one. He got her right out of town. They moved, I think, to Texas right away, and now they're in California. And Jim Bob knew, like, oh, this guy's going to take her right out of here. But yeah. I think Jim Bob was looking for kind of follower husbands for his daughters.
Yeah.
So he could keep them working.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. So Derek maybe played him a little bit. Yeah.
I think Derek played him.
It's interesting because Derek in the documentary said, like, he came to him, to Jim Bob at first, and said, well, could you sponsor me in the Bible study and all this stuff? And then maybe kind of got in there. Yeah.
He did. That's how he got
in. Okay. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right. So basically, they're all cult blue. This is, by the way, it's still going on.
Yeah.
They're not as huge as they were at that time.
Yeah,
but it still goes on.
Bill stepped down.
Yeah, you can still buy these books and everything. Yeah. But this has been a kind of a sad, and I've been a little bit angry this episode. Yeah. You probably can tell that
it's
in my voice.
Episode.
It's a heavy episode. But let's leave the audience with hope.
Okay.
Is there anything hopeful that we can take out of this?
So they talked about something in the documentary, which I thought was really interesting. It was something called deconstructing. And I found the definition of it. It means breaking down or analyzing something, especially the words in a work of fiction or nonfiction, to discover its true significance, which is supposedly almost never exactly what the author intended. So there is this thing that they were talking about. Jill was talking about it, and some other of the survivors of the IBPL cult were talking about using deconstructing as a way to find themselves again. And long story short, all it means is starting from the beginning and going inside yourself and questioning everything. Do I even believe in God? Do I believe in God the way they said? So really breaking it down to the bare building blocks of it and questioning each one and sticking with it and staying with it until you really kind of have a grasp on your own thoughts about it. And that's deconstructing. And it's used for fundamental Christians to kind of build back their faith in a way that's more true to them. But honestly, I feel like that's what we all have to do. Okay. I feel like we all have to deconstruct. I feel like when I heard that, I'm like, oh, that's what I try to do. Like, I try to do that with everything. When you see an advertisement for something, when a friend tells you something, when a partner tells you something, when a parent tells you something, you have to, like, take it and be like, hey, wait a second, is this true for me? Does this resonate with me? Does this work for me? Is this something that is beneficial for me? What does this mean to me? You always have to bring it inside. I think this whole IBPL documentary is a great conversation about when somebody or an organization tries to take your center and put it on a stick that you can never quite get, like a carrot on a stick.
Right.
And you're always running to try to get to that connection, to try to get to your center. And that's a distraction because your center's in you. And that's the only place you can go to get it. So I feel like that's what a lot of these survivors are trying to do to heal.
Yep.
And I feel like that's what we all have to do anyways, even if we're not in a cult.
Yeah.
So.
And you'll never get that carrot. In these cults, you can't get the carrot.
Yeah. Though they were even saying that the people who were hurt the most or abused the most or the ones that were the most traumatized were looked on as like, oh, lucky you, because you got to grapple with this. Almost like the abuse was a gift That's how sick it was.
Yeah.
Because it allowed them to at least grapple with it or whatever. But yeah, it's you're never going to get it.
You're never going to get it. And I'll just finish up with, you know, it was also interesting because they did have other survivors of the cult in there too, not only the Duggars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the ladies later on went to go see Bill Gothard after he had been out of the, you know, not, I don't know if he out of the church, but not preaching anymore in his home. I don't know how that was arranged or whatever. And she sat down across from him and she looked at him. And then finally she just, you're just a dude. You're just like a dude, like a creepy
man.
Like finally she was able to see, you know, one time she saw a god, a deity. And now here before her was this, you're just a decrepit old dude.
Yeah.
And I think for her, that was finally like, okay.
Yeah.
That's all this guy ever was just a dirty, disturbed dude.
These people, nothing has power over us that we don't give it. So it's about taking back your power.
Yeah, take back your power.
And that's in your own perception. Yeah. So I think that's just something we could carry on and apply to all facets of our own lives.
All right. And now we have a new word to add to our language because our cult has a language. So we have cult blue.
Cult blue.
Go along with purple bomb, yell no, and all the rest of the language that we're creating. We'll have those in workbooks for you at some point that you could buy on our website $4.99.
Too soon. Scott.
I wanted to leave on a laugh. You know, so usually we're a little bit more funny, I guess.
Yeah.
But all right. I think it's very interesting. I do recommend the documentary to watch it too if you want to. Do that.
Okay, this podcast is for you and about you, and we're so glad you spent some time with us today.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.